How will small Native communities in rural Alaska balance traditional life with the pressures of modernization? That was the question community leaders focused on during the second day of discussions on the proposed road to the Ambler Mining District. KNOM's Zechariah Hughes was in Kotzebue for the meetings and has the story.
For nearly 5 hours in a conference room at the Nalogvik Hotel, representatives, many of them elders, from communities in the Lower Kobuk Valley, Koyukuk River, and elsewhere shared their thoughts.
I think we have to seriously look at what we're doing right now, because we need a cash economy to support our way of life. I don't think we could go back to where we started from.
Like many others, Larry Westlake of Kayana shared his personal history before offering thoughts on how people in the Northwest Arctic and interior regions need to engage with development projects like the Ambler Industrial Road. The session was scheduled to be a dialogue between community members and state officials, but speakers chose to deviate from that plan and pass the microphone all the way around a large circle of about 30, each person getting her or his chance to talk. Walter Sampson lives in Kotzebue, and like many others, he used the road as a proxy for a larger conversation about how to affect change.
For too long, we've been planned for. It's time that we turn things around to where we plan our destiny, the future of our children and our grandchildren. Quit reacting. Become proactive in designing those things so you can maximize the benefits that you can get from those plans.
There were a lot of references to the need to prepare new opportunities, citing Red Dog Mine and the Ada-owned road connecting to it as a template for bringing the benefits of industrial mining back to shareholders. There was a lot of praise for Ada and their contractor, Dow HKM, who organized and paid for Wednesday and Thursday's meetings. Karsten Rodvik is in charge of external affairs for Ada and thought Thursday's session was a resounding success.
Clearly, there is a recognition for the sake of future generations that responsible development of Alaska's resources needs to occur today. I'm very pleased with the level of support that was expressed here today for this project and for the process going forward.
But some in attendance were unsure of what was accomplished. No decisions were made and few questions about serious selling points for the project, like the promise of jobs, lower costs of living, revenues, were answered. Jill Yordi is an environmental advocate who's followed the project closely and been to several meetings and says that while relationship building is important, decisions about fundamental features of the project keep getting deferred.
I think this is definitely a starting point. I think there's some conversation going on. I don't think it's anywhere near the full conversation that should happen. There's many people that are not at the table today that should be. Ada hasn't really been clear on what role these meetings are playing and how they're taking the information that people bring into account, how they're making those decisions.
Ada says that many of those specific decisions can't be considered until after the environmental impact statement has collected all the pertinent information. Mark Davis is the deputy director with the agency and says the upcoming EIS will set the stage for evaluating everything from subsistence impacts to financial models.
And that business plan would come after the EIS process. And then you'd make sure that business model could survive changes in the business environment, say a downturn in the price of copper, for example. And you'd make that decision then to determine whether the road would be viable given the size of those mines.
But there are those like Virginia Comack from Ambler who want local conditions put into writing before plans for the road go any further.
If anything is going to be beneficial to my people, there has to be memorandum of agreements before anything is really starting off, because EIS is going to be fast. Before we know it, it's going to be over. And by that time, things may change. So if anything's going to happen, it has to be before the EIS.
Those memorandums, or the requests they might protect, weren't really discussed. During the 2 days of meetings, there were times when it felt like two conversations were going on in the same conference room. Leaders from the Kobuk and Koyukuk River communities shared their personal perspectives how they might not just survive, but thrive. And representatives from the state listened and, in their turn, explained procedural steps and timelines for a template they say has worked before and will here. In Kotzebue, I'm Zechariah Hughes.